Hello all, and welcome to episode 7 of Meet the Farmers. Last week, I travelled down the A12 to South Essex to speak to Ed Ford, who's an arable farmer near Brentwood. However, he's also this year's chair of the National Federation of Young Farmers Clubs. So we had lots to talk about young farmers and young entrants to the industry. And he's also a trustee of Forage Aid, which led on to some quite interesting discussions as well. In the usual way, I asked him to begin by describing his farm. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
So we're a 1,200-acre arable farm. We were conventionally farming on a min-till basis up until 18 months, 2 years ago. The finances weren't adding up. We were struggling with blackgrass. We were struggling with all number of things. We're on very heavy soil here, and we took the decision to go down the zero-till route. Since then, we've had the driest spring ever, one of the wettest winters ever last year. The driest winter ever just gone, and it's all a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, drought is in the news at the moment. I saw you tweet yesterday, actually, was it, that you're not, yeah, you've walked barley and wheats and thought that it's not actually as bad
It's looking okay at the moment. I've been told to steer clear of the word drought for the moment. We're not in a drought, you know, the reservoirs are full, but April we had 4.5 mil, March we had 15 mil. This month we've had 3 mil. You know, it's dry, and it is the growing season, and it is incredibly dry. But, you know, we're fairly drought resistant here.
Some quick questions on big topics. Glyphosate.
Well, million dollar question. You know, I'm part of a group, the Glyphosate Action Group, and we sat down 7 or 8 months ago and said, if we lose it, we need to know that we've put our life and soul into saving it. You know, the type of farming we're doing here relies on glyphosate. If we lose glyphosate, the next step for us will be organic. The trouble is, if they ban glyphosate, they can ban anything.
And big one, Brexit.
You know, I was a firm Remainer, and I've now got to tip it on its head. We've got to get on with it. And, you know, a general election has now lost us 6 weeks of Article 50. We, as the National Federation of Young Farmers, had meetings booked with the politicians, and they've all been cancelled because of the general election. So we're sort of going backwards a bit. We are the next generation, we are the future, and we've got to play the part in the Brexit negotiations to make sure that we have a fair deal.
And most importantly, TOWIE, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
That is the most important question of the day. I've been to the Sugar Hut a couple of times. I have to speak to my bank manager every time I go. I resent paying £20 for 2 gin and tonics. Yes, it's great for the local area. Yes, they've been and done some filming on the farm. Is it a complete load of rubbish? Probably.
Right, let's get a bit more serious. Why did you get into farming in the first place?
I'm not the most academic of persons. I went away to school, struggled at school very much. Dyslexic, didn't know what I wanted to do until about the age of 16 when I started working at home on the farm in the summer holidays, and you know, it just clicks. It's different every day. It's a great industry to work in. You know, it's one of the biggest industries in the UK.
Do you think farming has an image problem still?
I think there's a huge, if you think back to our ancestors, you know, it was very much grafting, hard work, manual work, lifting up 25, 30 kilo sacks, filling up the cedar with them, and fertiliser used to come in 100 weight bags. And it was a hard life. But, you know, technology's moved on. When we employ people these days, you've got to think, are we looking for a tractor driver or are we looking for a computer operator? Mm. And, you know, the tech we've got on this farm alone, we totted it up, and we've spent probably in the past 10 years the thick end of 100,000 quid on GPS. Precision farming. The opportunities there within agriculture now with the technology are phenomenal. We've got to embrace the technology and educate people that farming's not what it used to be, and it is a great career, and we need to get more younger people into farming.
You've got lots of different hats on, and obviously young farmers is a huge part of your life. How do you manage your time?
You know, if I got a pound for every time someone asked me that question, I wouldn't need to work. I think ultimately it comes back to a very understanding family, a very understanding staff team here on the farm. It is a huge time commitment. All I want to do is try and give back what I've got out of young farmers. You know, it's made me the man I am today. Wouldn't be talking to you if it wasn't for young farmers. Wouldn't be talking to you if it wasn't for February 2014 when I got involved with Forage Aid. Saying yes to something like that changed. Without Forage Aid, I wouldn't have been National Chairman of Young Farmers.
Were you involved?
So
Chelmsford's my club. Strangely, we're in Brentwood here, and when we joined, Brentwood wasn't such an active club. They were going through a bit of a rough patch. So I joined Chelmsford with my brother. Went there, got involved at club level, did a committee role the next year, did another committee role the year after, sort of worked my way up. Got involved with the parties, organising them, became club chairman, then got involved with the Young Farmers Show, then went on to be county chairman, and thought that was it. And then Forage Aid happened, and got involved with National Young Farmers through that.
For listeners who don't know, I'm sure there must be some out there, how would you describe Young Farmers? What is it that you do, or your aims?
With my Young Farmer hat on, Young Farmers is all about fun, learning and achievement, but ultimately rural living can be quite isolated. It just brings together 25,000 people with similar interests across the country.
This is the important thing, is that Young Farmers isn't just for young
farmers. It's not just about, you know, I mean, in Essex, I think we're down to less than 20% farmers in Young Farmers now. But, you know, as long as you've got an interest in rural life, that's all that matters. And you get a few of you in a room and talking, and that's what it's all about. And ultimately, my parents met through Young Farmers. I met my girlfriend through Young Farmers. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And it's the best kept British secret.
Do you think you're doing enough to get your name out there?
No, we're the worst promoters. You know, and that goes back to farming. You know, farmers are always the worst promoters. Back in the day, I'm told, was north of 100,000, and we're now just shy of 25,000. But then the industry's changed, less people working on farms, etc., etc. But so, I mean, some counties are going up, some counties are in decline, some are level. You know, Essex has been around the 500 mark ever since I've been involved. We just need to get the word out there. I think social media obviously plays a key part in that, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat.
What are your aims as chair for this year?
I mean, times have changed within the National Federation of Young Farmers. The finances aren't looking as great as they were 5 or 6 years ago when we used to run these big campaigns. But, you know, I'm not running a specific campaign as such, but farm safety is something that's very close to my heart. And I'm working very closely with the Yellow Wellies Farm Safety Foundation. You've got to sort out the whole farm safety job. It's ridiculous. If 10 people in February dying on farms, 2 members of Young Farmers already since I've been chairman. We've got to sort it out. So that's sort of my main aim. Obviously, we've got to steer Young Farmers through the Brexit negotiations. My vice, Lindsay Martin, is heading that up. She's sitting on all the groups we need to be sat on. And then thirdly, obviously, we've got a great staff team in the office. We need to get them back up to where to the strength we were a couple of years ago.
You've already mentioned your growth in membership. What do you reckon are the other big challenges that Young Farmers is going to face over the next few years?
The whole farmer thing's changing. You're not just a farmer, a labourer. You're an accountant, you're a businessman, you're an IT specialist, and we need to make sure that training is available to our members. And, you know, why shouldn't Joe Bloggs, hasn't got a farm, wants to get into farming, why shouldn't he be able to get into farming? So we're making systems available to them to get in. We're doing a lot of work with Savills, working on business startups, that sort of thing. We've obviously got our Fresh Start Land partnership, which is a matching service. Long and short of it is elder generation who don't want to farm anymore, younger generation who want to get into farming, join them up and do it that way.
Let's talk about younger people in the countryside generally. Do you think there's still a brain drain of people, good people with good ideas in the countryside, but they then move to the cities to then grow those ideas because that's where the money is, etc., etc.?
Really interesting. Chap I know farms just down the road, but never wanted to be a farmer. Full of ideas, moved to the city, worked as a banker for 5-6 years, did incredibly well for himself, and then thought, well, actually, I'm going to kill myself doing this job. Came back to the farm, and what's fascinating about him is never been to ag college, and he's learned everything he knows about farming from a book. And some of the stuff he's coming out with now, totally controversial, but he's going with it.
Yeah.
You know, I will not be using insecticides next year. I will not be using fungicides in 5 years' time. And just totally suffering. We're all thinking, really? It's just a breath of fresh air what he's doing. One example I use, we were in the dark ages 10 years ago on our farm. We'd been concentrating on other things, and my father realised that myself and my brother wanted to come home, but the farm was, you know, it was 10 years behind where it should be. So we got a farm manager in, straight out of Riffel College, trainee farm manager. So he was basic level, wanted to learn about farm management. We put him through a few certificates, basis, facts, etc. He then went on to another job, and then now he is managing for James Dyson. Paul came out of college, trainee farm manager, and now he's at the top of his game. Just shows that someone can come in and go up.
Yeah, I think it's really important to raise and profile those stories because, yeah, everyone needs to know that someone has done what they want to do before they have.
It is possible. It is possible. And, you know, there's other examples out there. And it's those people that bring in the new ideas because they come with an outside perspective.
Let's take you back to February 2014. Forage Aid, Lincolnshire farmer, Twitter's wheat daddy, Andrew Ward, spearheaded this. And you're a trustee now. I mean, can you tell me a bit about how Forage Aid came about and relay some of your memories from that time?
I suppose Forage Aid started the year before when Andrew came to the help of farmers in Cumbria and Wales. I guess it was an idea he had that wasn't really cemented. It was a concept, and Andrew thought, you know, it would be a one-off and we'd never need to do it again. And then Somerset happened, and yeah, I will remember those 6 months for the rest of my life. Sat in a young farmers meeting at National Council in Coventry. A girl called Joy Davenport stands up and she says, she was Somerset vice chairman of Young Farmers. She gets up and goes, "We're in a muddle." And within 10 seconds of her starting her pre-prepared speech, she burst into tears. And I just thought, oh Jesus, we've got to do something here. So we'd had a very successful New Year's Eve party within Essex Young Farmers, and I rang up the county chairman. I said, "Look, we've got this 5,000 quid. Let's buy a couple of lorry loads of straw. Let's get it down there." So we did. And then I sort of came home and thought, yeah, well, that's a good job done. But that's not me. So then I sent a few texts to a few local farmers. Turned out to be about 50 farmers in my phone book. One thing led to another, and the rest is history. You know, we sent 54 loads from here to Somerset over the space of 6 months. We stockpiled it in a shed on the farm here, which was the key, really, because farmers were willing to donate at the time, but I knew full well these farmers would need it in 3 months' time. So we got it, we stored it, and then we distributed it. Tesco's played a key part in the haulage, wouldn't have done it without Tesco. And you know, they're now a long-term supporter of the charity. So that all finished, Somerset finished, and we left there with an incredible group of friends. We then myself, Andrew, and Rebecca Horsington got someone put us forward for an award, Farmers Guardian Farming Hero Award, and then we won it. And that was just a crazy night. The most emotions just... Every time I look back at the video, you see me walking on the stage crying, which is the worst thing ever. And, you know, as I said back then, we weren't being heroes. We were just doing what we thought was right. And then we sat down the next morning over breakfast and said, we've got to go somewhere with this now. And then we came up with the idea of becoming a charity. And the event we were up in Cumbria for Storm Desmond. Don't know what the final tally was there, but it was north of 50 loads up to Cumbria. I guess the biggest problem facing us as a charity, we're not like the RABI or FCN or Addington, where we're always there. We will only mobilise in an extreme weather event.
But it was a great example of the press actually getting behind a good news.
I mean, there was all these bad news stories coming off the Somerset levels of, you know, the how homeowners having a go at the council and, you know, why are we flooding? This is ridiculous. And then we came in with this good news story, and social media 100% key to what we did. Wouldn't have got there without social media, and it just went viral. You know, we had people sat in this office. I rang up people, said, "Right, I need you here. I need someone managing the social media. I need someone on the phones." People in the yard running the straw. We had 10 tractors and trailers just driving all over Essex, bringing straw in. It was crazy. And every load, picture, Twitter, Facebook, and it just grew and grew and grew. And then you get young farmers ringing up from Suffolk, from Wales, saying, "Oh, how can we get involved?" I said, "Well, I'm not going to do it. You've got to help yourselves and do it yourselves." And it was utterly insane, utterly insane. And we got the support of the local dealers. We got free fuel delivered. We got telehandlers delivered here to help us. It was just such a good news story, and it just... And you know, any young farmer that was involved with Essex with it will always remember it, because it was just the most crazy couple of weeks when we were getting it all here, and convoys of 20 tractor and trailers just driving up the road. It was just insane.
Should we go for a walk around?
Yeah, go have a look around.
Right, so we're moving into the state office.
No one in here at the moment.
Hive of activity.
Everyone's out, everyone's busy.
Being so close to London obviously has benefits and drawbacks. What are those?
Oh, the biggest benefit, you can get on a train and be in the centre of London in 20 minutes from here, which is absolutely brilliant.
especially with the young farmer side, I'm always the go-to guy, or Lindsay, who's just the other side of the river. We're the go-to people because we can both be in London in under an hour. And, well, I mean, I wouldn't say I go out partying in London that much, but occasionally it's handy for a night out, and, you know, there's some very good restaurants up there. It's nice for that. Drawbacks, you know, it is what it is. We're in a commuter area. A lot of builders go into London for the day, come out, tip on our land on their way out. That's a bit, one of the biggest drawbacks. Crime, travellers is another issue. Even yesterday we had an incident with some travellers, and luckily the police responded very quickly and it was resolved very quickly. But that's the trouble. You were in a highly populated area.
What are the main challenges you reckon you have on the farm at the moment?
But my biggest challenge is blackgrass. So I'm responsible on the farm for all the agronomy, purchasing. So basically I buy everything and my brother sells everything. it's how it's divided up, and it works quite well. But you can see here, I mean, where those trees are, under those trees, freshly planted trees, it's full of blackgrass. We've taken this bit here out of production just because we can't control the blackgrass. I spend my life thinking about it. Apparently I now talk about it in my sleep. Blackgrass is the biggest problem facing us on this farm. And if we do lose glyphosate, it's going to be an even bigger problem.
Yeah, and I take it you've already tried most of the cultural controls.
Yeah, I mean, we've tried...
Drilling later.
Yeah, drilling later. We didn't drill any wheat. We drilled three quarters of our wheat on the last week of November this year. Because it was such a dry summer, the blackgrass didn't grow. So, I mean, we were looking at spring barley here, very competitive crop, and we brought that in. We've only been growing that for 2 years, and that's brought in to help control the blackgrass. A lot of spring cropping, linseed's another one. Just trying to drill later and use more cultural controls.
Mm. What are your break crops?
Break crops, well, we need another one. We can't grow rape here. Neonicotinoids is a huge, huge issue. I think if you look, what we're looking at there, we're looking at over 10,000 acres of land there. And you show me a rape field, there's not one there.
It's true. Certainly a driving down through the county, actually, there is a definite drop in the yellow.
Yeah, we took the decision before we drilled the rape this year not to grow it. When I first came home, we were growing 300 acres of rape. Last year we grew 70 or 80, and we averaged 0.7 of a tonne a hectare. And it looked a brilliant crop. I mean, it looked lovely. But put the combine in there and we all sort of, God, this is worse than we thought. So until we can get a viable seed treatment, we're not really interested in rape. So break crops at the moment, spring beans, linseed, and oats as well. But the blackgrass control in oats isn't great. We're growing double spring barleys to combat blackgrass. But yeah, we do need another break crop, looking at bringing winter beans back in and getting fewer spring beans potentially, because they're just not working for us, the spring beans. We're looking at soya, millet, all the premium crops, but it's a bit radical at the moment. We've just changed the system to zero till. To start massively changing the cropping is going to be a challenge.
What have you got in terms of kit?
interestingly, we took the decision when we went zero till to streamline our kit a bit. We had lots of 350 horsepower tractors knocking about, all sort of 40k gearboxes, and with the dual carriageway we've got, we're always on the dual carriageway, so 50k became sort of a necessity. So we took the decision last year, we sold our Challenger, we used to have a big track Challenger, sold two John Deere's and a Massey Ferguson as well. We already had one Fendt and we bought two more, and it's just streamlined the whole business incredibly. There's three tractors that everyone wants to drive, so there's three tractors, three drivers, so we don't fight in the morning, oh, I'm having that one, he's having that one. Mind you, my favourite is a 720, but that's my go-to tractor.
Grain storage, what have you got on site?
So we've got one grain store here, and then our main grain storage is about 6 miles the other end of the farm. We've only got 300 acres this side of the road, but 800 the other side of the road, so the main grain storage is the other side of the A127. You can probably hear the background noise of the A127. Yeah. I remember when I first started driving tractors on the road, you could get stopped at rush hour for an hour and a half. And then the combine would end up stopping, so we just took the decision and built grain storage elsewhere on the farm. I can remember before I was allowed to drive on the road, my brother and I were in the field on the combine. He was on the combine and I was carting in the field, taking the trailers, emptying on the move, etc. And my old man got stuck on the M27. He rang up my mother. She walked through the field. He swapped with her, and she just sat there for 2 hours at the bottom of the road in a tractor. And he went and got another tractor and went the back way back to the field. It is a problem. It is a problem. And, you know, this kit's getting bigger and bigger. You know, I'd like to think we're fairly high standard of kit safety on this farm, because we need to be, because of the road and the public that are about here.
How do you see the future of the business growing moving forward?
The future of the business here is very exciting. We've got lots and lots of ideas in the pot. It's just, I guess, the biggest issue we're facing here at the moment is council and planning. It's holding our business back. I mean, I'm very much about building relationships with the local council, so that's key. Working with them, coming to satisfactory outcomes. But, I mean, there's so many things going on here. It's such a diverse business we're running. We've got to just sort of... And anyone that looked externally at this business would say, God, your management top-heavy, which we are completely. But quite frankly, the way I see it is, if your bum is sat on a tractor seat, you're not out there earning money. And, you know, mine, my brothers, my fathers, mothers, aunties, whoever, time is spent better scheming and actually trying to make it work, trying to make it a viable business.
Yeah.
Big thing we're working on at the moment is building a new farm facility away from here, a big 17,000 square foot fertiliser grain store, workshop, wash bay, sprayer area. And we've been working on that for about 6 months now, and hopefully if we get planning, we'll crack on with that post-harvest.
Yeah, again, it's that P word, isn't it? Planning.
Planning is an issue. Hmm. And, you know, green belt is a big issue around here. Everything's green belt. But yet they're about to go and build 10,000 houses just up the road, so...
What are your thoughts on the future of Greenbelt?
I think it's a ideology, Greenbelt. It's a concept that in 10 years' time will not exist, because, you know, we do need to house these people, and we do need to employ them as well. And if they're going to build 10,000 houses down the road, where are they all going to be employed? So Greenbelt's an interesting one. But eventually Southend will join up with London. It's a fact. You know, this farm will be sold in the next 200 years, a whole lot for housing. None of it's in the pipeline yet, but, you know, you've got a dual carriageway running through the middle of your farm. It is all going to be housing one day.
What have you got coming up for young farmers? What's your diary?
Off this afternoon to Ringwood to do some club training with a club down there, and then tomorrow I'm off to Leicestershire to their rally, judging at their rally. Tomorrow night, off to Downham Market, Young Farmers annual ball, about 800 people going, so it's going to be a hell of a do. And then next week, Wednesday, is the RABI AGM in Oxford. Thursday, Devon County Show. Next weekend, I haven't really got that far yet, but it is full, I can confirm. But you've got 1 year to give it your all. And again, like I said earlier, it's the blessing of the family and the staff here that let me do it. And you've got... I've got so much out of young farmers, I just feel I've got to give what I can back.
Ed, thank you very much.
No problem. Pleasure.